as I read them to you, because I want you to read along with me in your notes, and I want you to see what the Bible's saying right here, okay? Because this is important. For as I read them, world. Who's the world? All of us. Amen? Am I part of the world? Are you part of the world? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, right? That whoever believes, who does whoever include? You guys are sharp this morning. Whoever believes, circle the word whoever. Whoever believes in Him, that is in His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that person shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. Amen? The whole world. He who believes in Him, that is Jesus Christ, is not judged. But he who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So you underline that phrase, for God so loved the world. You circle that word, whoever. Then go to verse 17 and underline the phrase, that the world might be saved through Him. And then underline in verse 18, he who believes in Him is not judged. And so the Scripture is very clear that God loves all people, but listen to me closely. The Bible is just as clear that not all people love God. The Scripture is very clear that God loves all people, but the Bible is just as clear that not all people love God and not all people receive His free gift of eternal life. And so this doctrine of predestination doesn't lessen the fact that God loved the whole world so much that He rendered all of us savable, amen, who would believe in Jesus Christ. In fact, the Bible teaches He went to incredible lengths to save and secure all who would put their faith in His only Son, Jesus Christ. And so, number two this morning, if a person is condemned to hell, it's because he refuses to repent of his sin and receive God's free offer of salvation. If a person is condemned to hell, it's because he refuses to repent of his sins and receive God's free offer of salvation. And so the Bible never says that people, listen to this closely, are judged and condemned because they're not chosen or elected. Look back at John 3:18. He who believes in Him, that is Jesus Christ, is not judged. But he who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God, Jesus Christ. And so the bottom line is, unbelievers are condemned by their own unbelief. God's offer of salvation is available to all, the Bible says, yet the lost, listen to this closely, the lost stay lost because they refuse to believe in and receive God's free gift of eternal life. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:16 in your notes, I was shown mercy. Now listen to what Paul's saying here, right? I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of all sinners, God's using Paul to make a point, right? He's using Paul to be an example. Of all the guys God could have chosen, He chose the worst of all sinners so that Jesus Christ might display His unlimited patience and as an example for all those who would believe on Him and receive eternal life. So circle the word believe and circle the word receive. Eternal life is available to all who would believe in Jesus Christ and receive eternal life. And then in John 1:12 in your notes, yet to all, what does the word all mean? You're still with me. All means all, amen? You guys are doing awesome. Everybody's making 100. There will be no curve today on the test. Yet to all who received him, the Bible says, and to those who believed, circle the word received and circle the word believed. Yet to all who received him and to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Amen. And the Bible makes it plain in 2 Peter 3:9, do not miss this. The Lord is not slow about his promises. Some of you count slowness, and as I count slowness, but is patient toward you. Listen to this. Not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Circle those two words, any and all. Those are important for you to remember. The Lord is patient with you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. And then Paul reminds Timothy in 1 Timothy 2, 3-6. Now, before I read this to you, I want you to do something. I want you to see if you can identify the desire of God's heart. I want you to see if you can identify the deepest desire of God's heart in this passage as I read it. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Underline that phrase, desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator. There's one go-between, if you will. There's one bridge between God and man, and that is the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all the testimony given at the proper time. And so the Bible teaches that God's absolute foreknowledge and man's real ability to make choices at the same time. That's what the Bible shows us, that God has absolute foreknowledge and yet man has a real ability to make choices at the same time. And Paul affirms in 8:29 that those God foreknew, he also predestined. Which leads us to point number 3 this morning. Christ's sacrifice is limited in who it's applied to. Christ's sacrifice is limited in who it's applied to because of man's free choice, but it is unlimited in who it's extended to. Christ's sacrifice is limited in who it's applied to because of man's free choice, but it's unlimited in who it's extended to. Meaning God loves the whole world and desires all men to be saved, but man has the capacity to receive or reject God's free gift of love and eternal life. God's desire was for all to come to repentance. His desire is for all to receive eternal life. We just read it right there in black and white. And so he took his heart's desire, which is to be in a love relationship with you, to be in an intimate love relationship with you for all of eternity. He took that heart desire and he built a bridge between sinful man and holy God. And that bridge was the cross of Jesus Christ. That cross bridges the gap between sinful man and holy God when man believes and receives God's free gift of salvation. And so God's desire was for all to come to repentance and receive eternal life. And he takes his deepest desire in his heart so that he would give up his one and only son to die a brutal, horrible, torturous death because he couldn't stand the thought of spending eternity without you. That's pretty awesome, amen? That's pretty amazing. Look back at John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And so this is where God's eternal plan, this is where God's foreknowledge intersected our lives in time. And while we may never be able to completely understand it this side of heaven, in the divine scheme of things, these two truths, the predestination of man and man's ability to choose, are held in perfect balance. And therefore, we must remember that predestination does not rule out human responsibility. We also learn in the Bible that Lucifer exercised his free choice to sin, to rebel against God. Adam and Eve exercised their free choice to sin and rebel against God. And the Bible says that, you know what? You and I have done the same thing. Every one of us, the Bible says, have exercised that free choice to sin and rebel against God. And because man has chosen to rebel against God, he will face the consequences. But no man will be condemned who's in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:1. Amen. No man. The Bible says in Romans 8:1, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned. All fall short of the glory of God. And the Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift, I want you to circle those two words in your notes, Romans 6:23, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen, if it's a free gift, by definition, you can't earn it, amen? If it's free, you can't earn it by definition, right? If it's a gift, you haven't earned it by definition. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God. You didn't earn it. You don't deserve it. The only thing you can do is believe in it and receive it. Amen? It's like a beggar standing on the corner of the street begging for bread, and you hand him a piece of bread, and now he walks off saying, look what I worked for. Look what I earned. The only thing he did was receive that free gift. It would be crazy for him to walk away saying that somehow he worked for it, somehow he earned it. And the Bible says, for while we were enemies with God, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. Don't take away from the death of His Son by trying to earn your salvation. While we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Are you saved by His life or by what you do in your life? The Bible says you're saved by His life, not by what you do in your life. And this is something that I love that you get out of Romans 5:10. Listen to this. Everybody else is God. Everybody else is bridge to God. However you want to put that, whether it's Muhammad, whether it's Joseph Smith, whether it's Buddha, you pick your God or your bridge to God. They've all died and stayed dead. Amen? But Jesus Christ is risen. He is risen and He is at the right hand of the Father in heaven, interceding for you and I right now on our behalf. Amen. The Bible says in Romans 10:9-10, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Bottom line, human beings exercised their option to sin and were under condemnation, but God, in His desire for all to repent and be saved, built a bridge back to Himself through the cross of His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. And so once again, man must exercise his option to accept or reject God's offer of forgiveness and eternal life. And in eternity past, God elected to provide salvation for all and ensure it for those who are in Christ. Let me say that again. In eternity past, God elected to provide salvation for all and ensure it for those who are in Christ. Look at 1 Peter 1 in closing this morning. To those who reside as aliens. Now, why would Peter say that? Because once you're a child of God, this is no longer your home. Amen? Once you're a child of God, planet Earth is no longer your home. Amen? Our home's in heaven, right? We're here for one reason. That is to help other people know Jesus Christ and populate heaven. Amen? That's the reason the Lord's left us here. So to those who reside as aliens, speaking of those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, underline that phrase, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with His blood, may grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope. A living hope. Not a dead hope, but a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To obtain this inheritance which is imperishable, it's undefiled, it will never fade away, and it is reserved in heaven for you if you're in Christ. Now look back for just a moment to verse 30. And these whom He predestined, He also called. And these whom He called, He also justified. And these whom He justified, He also glorified. So just as foreknowledge, predestination, and calling are the exclusive work of God, so is justification and glorification. Justification refers to believers being made right with God by God. Let me say that again. Justification refers to believers being made right with God by God. Glorification refers to the ultimate destination and eternal security of every believer. And so Paul reminds the church in Corinth, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that will far outweigh them all. And in Romans 8:18, he said, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time... Now, that dude suffered. You study the life of Paul, he suffered way more than you and I can even imagine suffering. And listen to what he says. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us. To the church in Thessalonica, he said, it was for this that he called you through the gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he reminded Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:10, for this reason, I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it, eternal glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your truth that you show us in your word. And what a blessing it is to have these promises. What a blessing it is to know that I'm in Christ. To know that I've been predestined, called, justified, and glorified because I'm in Christ. Because I received this amazing free gift of love, of salvation through my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now you may be here this morning, and maybe you're here and you would say, you know what, Chris? I don't know that I've ever put my faith in Jesus Christ. I want to know that I have that security. I want to know that I'm going to share in that kind of inheritance for all of eternity. I want to know that I have a personal relationship with God. Friend, your bridge is Jesus Christ. And you can become a child of God today, and you can receive eternal life today that is kept in heaven for you, undefiled. No one can touch it. No one can take it away. Even you can't take it away. And you can do that today by saying a simple prayer somewhat like this. You don't even have to say a prayer. You can believe and receive. But if this helps you process, you can do it by saying a simple prayer to the Lord like this today. Lord Jesus, I believe that you're God. And I believe that you loved me so much that you'd rather come to this earth and die for me than spend eternity without me. And so, Lord Jesus, right now, today, in my heart, I'm asking you to be the Lord of my life. I've been going to church all my life, but when I think about it, man, I've been doing my thing. I've been doing my own thing. I've been playing God for far too long. And today I'm asking you to receive me as your child. I want to receive that free gift that I get because of your love, your mercy, and your grace. I want to receive that free gift of eternal life. And so I pray, Father, that you would give that to me today as I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe he's God. I believe he died on the cross for my sins, and I believe he rose from the dead and is seated at your throne, on the right side of your throne right now, praying for me as I pray this prayer. And so today, Lord Jesus, I receive you into my heart and into my life as my Lord and Savior. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you said that prayer, I want you to look up out here, look up at me for a moment. If you said that prayer today, the Bible says you are now a child of God. The Bible says that you have received eternal life. The Bible says now you're a follower of Jesus Christ, and no one can take that away. You have received eternal life once for all, the Bible says, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ. So here's what I want you to do. One of the most important things you can do when you become a Christian, that needs to be one of the first things you do, is tell somebody else. So I'm going to ask you to take that bulletin in a minute when this service is over, and I'm going to ask you to fill it out, and I'm going to ask you to check the decision that you made, and then just put it in the offering box at the back. Tell me the decision that you made to follow Jesus Christ this morning. Father, we thank you for this day. And we thank you for the truth of your word. And we thank you, Lord, that we can just come here and worship you as family. That we have this amazing privilege of being part of this precious family of believers. And Lord, for those who accepted Christ today, I pray that you would bless them and help them to grow. Help them to get involved in Bible study. Help them to get involved in the fellowship of a Bible teaching, preaching, truth church. Because the Bible says that your church is the foundation for the truth. And I pray that for each of them. In Jesus' name, amen.